October, Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of haunted pals get together to talk about spooky anime. The pals are, I am Pyrrhic Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Goblin Gores.
Hi.
And I am your host, Ghoulish Ace. In today's episode, we are talking about Gnosia, a series that started recently. Since this is based on a video game, we've decided to cover it using the three-episode rule. Like previous podcasts about new shows, the synopsis won't be as detailed, so do check out the anime if we've piqued your interest. It was produced by Doomerica, the studio behind The World Ends With You, the animation, and Token Ranbu Kai Kyoden, and the related movie.
Oh, my favorite.
Gnosia currently has an Annie List score of 69%.
Gnosia, of course, is based on the critically acclaimed social deduction game, Fortnite.
This is based on the visual novel Gnosia, developed by Petit de Porto and published by PlaySim in 2022. My short synopsis is, Yuri wakes up with amnesia and the deciding vote in who's trying to kill them all. Arthur?
There's a Gnosia, an invasive alien species pretending to be a crew member among them, and until it is found, no one is allowed to leave. But these creatures are great at pretending to be their hosts and lying. Can our protagonist find the right one before everyone is dead?
And goes.
The protagonist wakes up on a spaceship and learns one of the crew members is sus.
Accurate. We open on unexpected male-presenting nudity as Setsu gets Yuri out of cryosleep, asking if they understand. Setsu warns them that they're going to be introduced to three people, but one of them isn't human. We get a flyby shot of the spaceship that they're in before rejoining the pair walking down a hallway, where Setsu explains that this is interstellar cruiser DQO en route to a planet in the Alakosia system.
Also, how hot is Setsu? Come on.
Unfortunately, they can't land until they've resolved their current issue. The three people that we're introduced to bicker over who the Gnosia is, with Rakio seeming to have it in for Yuri, as surely they're not really suffering from amnesia. Setsu tells the computer, Levi, to delay the start of the meeting so they can get Yuri up to speed. The group heads to the canteen and we're introduced to SQ, Gina, and Rakio. Apparently the ship was attacked by Gnosia infectees before they left Liu An, and Yuri was injured, which was why they were in the medical pod. People are infected after coming into contact with Gnos, though they don't explain if this is a virus, bacteria, or something else.
Or a video game mechanic.
The Gnosia then attack humans once they turn. Setsu goes on to explain that Levi can detect a Gnosia on board, and normal procedure would mean that Levi self-destructs, but for vague reasons it won't, so long as they all go into cold sleep one by one.
Wasn't the vague reason that they kind of bargained with the ship's AI and they're like, just let us try to find the Gnosia and we'll put each other to sleep? That's what I understood.
Yeah, but why would the ship listen to them?
Yeah, I wondered the same.
Setsu then explains that it's basically the party game of Werewolf, also known as Mafia. Yes, it's also known as Among Us.
Damn it, you didn't let me say it.
Once the Gnosia is in cold sleep, Levi won't be able to detect it. Levi presses the meeting button, so they all return to the main area to vote someone out of the airlock. I mean, put into cold sleep. It's not actually explained what cold sleep is. If it's just sleep, then whoever is not the Gnosia can be let out afterwards.
They do explain it a little bit later.
Do mention that, like, they bring it up later, but I want to see what you have to say about it.
Oh, no, I was literally going to say that and then just explain what Rakio says afterwards, but go on. I'm not going to interrupt the flow of the notes.
Oh, it's fine.
Well, from what I understood, it's just, it's cryosleep, but it's kind of like super unadvanced, so people just tend to die inside.
Yeah, well, basically that is what she says, yeah. What they say.
I mean, the comment about the dying might just be like, oh, that's old.
Also, isn't Rakia a she?
They.
No, Rakia. But why? Oh, something Rakia said confused me. Never mind. Carry on.
When Rakia says, what was the point of you being non-binary or something?
Yeah, that's what confused me. I was like, oh, then I guess Rakio is binary. And no, I guess not.
No, it's because Setsu is asexual.
No, Rakio also mentions the binary. And I was like, oh, I guess I expected Rakio to be non-binary up until they said that. And then I was like, oh, you know, I guess not. And now I'm finding out I was wrong. Thank goodness you guys caught that, because I was going to not.
I just wrote all my notes as if they were all non-binary. They have a brief discussion where basically Yuri says that they have amnesia and want everyone to survive. They then vote, and Rakio is voted out of the Big Brother house.
Oh no, how many of these do you have?
I don't know what you're talking about.
And here starts like the streak of Rakio getting voted out first. Every time.
I'm starting to think it's not even about the Genosei anymore. So they're like, we just don't like Rakio. Get out.
Yeah, Levy, say that there's a Genosei on board so we get rid of her.
Not even Levy likes Rakio. It's just like, that's just pretending so Rakio dies.
Because Rakio keeps talking about 3D chess.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. 3D chess. Oh, my.
They kind of explain that there's a chance she won't survive Cold Sleep, which is why this isn't something they're looking forward to. But Rakio gets in and SQ activates the pod. And doesn't she activate every time Rakio gets in?
In the fridge, you go.
Yeah, my favorite one's when she just pushes her in.
She says, get in the fridge. But spoilers for
something. Actually, something I wasn't too clear about was why do they wake up Yuri? I feel like that's a bit of a plot hole. Might be explained late at a later date, but yeah, it's like why do you need to wake up this person from cryosleep or whatever to do this game?
Yeah, I'm a little confused as well, because I know that Yuri was injured, but what's that memory, an instant learning pod that kind of like, why was Yuri in there?
Well, as you say, we'll probably find out in a later episode. Unfortunately, not in these three.
I mean, there's definitely like some implications to stuff that we don't know that we're going to learn on the later dates. I wasn't too bothered with some stuff not making sense right away.
The pod activates and there's a light which is supposed to go green when there are no Genosei on board. It stays red.
Gasp!
The ship will soon enter warp, which means that the Genosei will be awake while everyone else is asleep, as humans can't stay conscious during warp. Setsu takes
And don't go into warp! Just do another vote! It's almost like it's a video game. No, I'm sure there's lore reasons.
Setsu takes Yuri to the holographic observatory and tells Yuri that they've only just met, despite what Yuri thinks, but that they should hold on to that familiar feeling. Yuri goes to lay down in a room, but is immediately joined by SQ, who joins them on the bed. SQ reminds Yuri that the Genosei lie and to not trust anyone.
What does SQ stand for?
Super cute.
Silly Quilly?
Silly Quilly! Okay, that's her name from now on.
I was thinking about that, and I settled on Space Queef.
Levy warns that they're a few minutes away from warp and tells SQ that they're not allowed to share a bed. SQ leaves, and Yuri is strapped down by Levy as the ship enters warp. During the warp, someone is conscious and kills one of the others.
Oh my god, could it be Genosei?
When Yuri enters the main room to find SQ and Setsu, Levy confirms that Gina's presence is no longer on board. They're made to vote, and while SQ and Setsume make it clear that they're voting for each other, Yuri is torn. They vote, and Setsu is airlocked. While the cold sleep unit gets into position, Setsu asks to be alone with Yuri, so SQ walks off. Setsu hands Yuri a cube saying, "Doubt not, fear not, and no." That doesn't mean anything. Like, those words in that sequence, that's nonsense. The cube shatters and something
it's
enters Yuri's chest.
It's a haiku, obviously. Sorry.
It's a haiku of six words.
That's how it works, right?
No.
Well, what was it in Japanese? Maybe it is.
Okay. Maybe.
I don't know.
Setsu says that Yuri now has the power to transcend death and is beginning their long journey to leave this place. Setsu gets in the pod and SQ activates the cold sleep. And the light stays red. SQ attacks Yuri, and Yuri wakes in the medical pod with Setsu asking if they understand. And the episode ends.
Wait, how do you know that they attack you?
It's implied.
Maybe like we switch to another timeline, but the first timeline is okay, and it's like, I win! And that's the end of it, and they keep going.
They explain a couple of times that when there's more Gnosia than humans, the Gnosia will attack the humans.
I mean, but attack is very vague.
Stop picking semantics, come on, man.
Like, I could attack you by going, "Oh, you're so dumb, I'm attacking you."
Oh, see? Hey, I feel attacked.
There you go.
So you're telling me that SQ just verbally harassed Yuri? And then not in the way she did it in the bedroom, might I add.
Yeah, and they just keep flying to their destination. That's the end of the conflict.
Just the whole time is just SQ saying really mean things to Yuri.
No, it was just one insult, and it was over.
You suck. Now let's go play billiards with 8 arms.
You can't even play billiards with 8 arms because you only have 2, idiot. Psych, you thought I was being nice to you, inviting you to play?
Actually, they could there's 2 of them still left, so they could combine their forces and have 4 arms to play it.
Episode 2 begins immediately after Yuri woke up again, but they're aware that they might be reliving the past. Get the title sequence, which is the credits we just saw, and return to Setsu and Yuri walking down the hallway while Yuri considers what happened. Yuri then tries to thank Setsu for something they haven't done, and then SQ interrupts them. But Yuri manages to hide their fear well. I'm kidding, Yuri is almost literally soiling themselves. In the main room, Rakio is suspicious of Yuri again, and while Yuri tries to point the finger at SQ, it seems that everyone is still suspicious of everyone else. They vote, and SQ gets 2, but Setsu gets 3. In the deep sleep room, Yuri explains the time loop, but Setsu tells them to try not to stand out in the meetings, otherwise it'll make them stand out more. Setsu is frozen, and the light remains red.
Wait, not to stand out in the meetings because it will make you stand out?
Yes.
Is that literally what was said?
I might have paraphrased it.
Because it's kind of redundant. Don't try to stand out or you will.
It's a podcast. They wouldn't have noticed. While moping through the hallways, Yuri is stopped by Gina, and they go for coffee, where Yuri explains the time loop again. Gina accepts the premise and promises to vote for SQ next time. Since Yuri seems hesitant to trust, Gina suggests they go for a spacewalk as a trust exercise. Which, it just, why would you agree to do that?
I know you don't trust me, so let me put this knife against your throat really hard, but not hard enough.
They do some repairs and get back in the ship, where Levi suggests that Yuri takes a walk before the ship enters warp. Gina asks to accompany them, so they have a tour before heading back to their rooms. They pass Rakio, who gloats that Yuri might be murdered during the warp. Weird. Yuri realizes that the only way to stop SQ is by telling Rakio about the time loop as well.
Rakio is just being true to their character and still being a dick. Oh yeah, I believe you, but you're still so stupid.
Yeah, Rakio believes about the time loop, but suggests that the time loop causes a quantum state, so that the Genosia might not be the same person each time. Apparently, cause and effect changes the past too. So even though someone was infected before Yuri woke up, that person might change. That's how world lines work, apparently. We'll go with that for this plot to make sense. Levy tells them to return to their rooms, and when Yuri asks Gina point blank if they're human, their confirmation comes with a strange pulsing visual effect, which Yuri notices.
But he turned off tutorial, so he doesn't explain to him.
He killed the tutorial earlier.
Yuri is angsting about it in their room when SQ opens the door and walks in saying the same words as before. Yuri isn't having it and tells SQ to leave. Then the ship goes into warp and someone screams. In the main room, Rakio isn't present. They go for a vote and SQ is the Kira.
No. I can't stand this anymore.
Wait, I feel like I missed something.
In that Death Note social deduction game that released not too long ago, the killer is the Kira. The people have to work out who the Kira is.
I was thinking about that game because I didn't hear about it for a while, but I'm not sure if people know about this game. Fortnite is the best social deduction game.
It's not social
There's actually a game mode that's social deduction. So just letting you know.
Oh, okay. There's lots of different types of game modes in Fortnite now. That's probably one of them.
Just not the PvE one. That's gone.
SQ gets into the deep sleep pod and the light remains red. Gina says that they hope to see Yuri tomorrow. And Yuri wakes up in the medical pod, sitting bolt upright in front of Setsu, who asks if they understand. In the hallway, Yuri is angsting and hears an unfamiliar voice. They turn to find a grey alien standing there, before Yuri is tackled by someone who says that they adore Yuri. Episode ends with credits, and I don't enjoy the credits song, the end credits song.
Did we talk about the opening song?
Not yet. That's coming in 3 notes time. The third episode picks up immediately with the grey alien introducing themselves as Shigemichi. The hugger is Stella, and they really, really love Yuri. Then we get the titles, and I think the song is much better than the end credits, if not good on its own merits.
Didn't episode 2 have opening song?
It did.
I like that both opening and ending songs were a bit offbeat, with the opening being very much a rap and the ending also having that kind of prog rock kind of feel.
Okay. In the meeting room, Yuri decides to just calm down and try to work out who the one Genosia is. Then Livy mentions there are two Genosia. Rakio suspects Yuri, as before, and as such is put in deep sleep almost immediately, and the light remains red. Unfortunately, that doesn't mean that Rakio was not the Genosia. It means that there is still at least one Genosia up and about.
So, am I the only one to think that this is a little inconsistent? How does the ship know that there are at least two Genosia, that there are two Genosia, but it can't tell when one of them was frozen?
I wonder if it's to do with the whatever infects a person to turn them, the Gnos. The Levy can detect like a certain amount of Gnos, and that means one Genosia, and it can detect there's more than that amount of Gnos, which means there's two Genosia.
But what about when one is frozen and then the Gnoss with that one disappears?
The light is only to detect when there is Gnoss and not to detect... I don't know.
Okay, you know, my headcanon is Levi knew that there were two Gnoss, and it knew ahead of time that it wasn't Rakio in this episode, spoiler alert, and then just wanted Rakio to die again. That's it. I refuse to believe there's any other reason. Just this, Levi hates Rakio, and that's canonical now.
Yuri heads to the canteen, which now looks like a noodle restaurant. Shigemichi is there and explains it's a hologram, and they're being served noodles by Gina.
Also, it's called a holodeck. Jesus Christ. People, get your stuff right.
Shigemichi offhandedly mentions that they look that way because of synthetic skin grafts. Later, Yuri has to carry a drunk Shigemichi on their back. Shigemichi wants to see Stella and complains that Yuri helped save them. Later, Yuri heads to bed before warp, where someone is killed. It's Setsu. They begin the meeting, and Yuri asks everyone if they're a human. Everyone replies, but when Gina confirms it, there's a visual effect again. Yuri tries to explain that Gina is lying, but the vote is called before the others believe them. Shigemichi is voted off the island. But while Gina is definitely a Gnosia, so is Stella. It's implied that they do something nasty to Yuri because Yuri wakes up in the medical pod, happy goes. But before Setsu can ask if they understand, Yuri notices a heads-up display which tells them that they have engineer credentials.
This is one of my least favorite things. Not about the anime, it's just once upon a time when I bought an OLED display, I was learning about burn-in and the fact that it kind of like gets stuck there. So I told my wife once, imagine if you could get real life burn-in and like you could never get rid of a specific section in your eyeball, like in your vision. And then this popped up and it reminded me of that. I was like, man, I would just hate to be the engineer.
I think you kind of can get like a, there's certain conditions, certain illnesses that make you have a permanent thing in your vision.
I know it's horrible, but it's just that this just reminded me of it. I was just like, I would be like, no, I don't want to be the engineer. Vote me off.
New fear unlocked. In the main room, no, I didn't skip ahead. The anime did. They have a meeting and Shigemichi asks to confirm that there are two Gnosia and one engineer. Apparently during warp, the engineer can confirm if someone is a Gnosia with 100% accuracy. Rakio immediately says that they're the engineer and picks Yuri to be the subject of their examination. Yuri says that they're actually the engineer, but Rakio says Yuri is lying and a Gnosia. Yuri hopes that Rakio taking charge makes them look guilty so they'll be voted for. Voting begins and Rakio is fired.
Where's that one from?
The Apprentice. In Yuri's room, Levi confirms that a full investigation will take a whole warp. We skip the warp and find Gina was killed as the second meeting begins, and Yuri states that Shigemichi is the Gnosia. The reason being that Shigemichi voted for Yuri, as did Rakio. Also, Shigemichi probably discovered that Gina voted for them, so wanted to get rid of the one person who already suspected them. Shigemichi is not given a rose and is sent to deep sleep. And the light goes green. Both Gnosia are in the freezer. But Yuri wakes up in the medical pod again.
Yeah, turns out it's Groundhog Day.
As they use an elevator by themselves, the door opens and someone new reaches out as if to grab them and tells them to go to the freezer. End credits. So, was this a good adaptation?
Yuri got voted off the island, so yeah, sure, obviously.
From the research I've done, yeah, it seems very faithful.
Yeah, there are more roles like the engineer from the start of the available from the start of the game, it appears, and the visual effect is because of a high intuition stat, which means that you're able to detect lies. We didn't see Yuri choose like stats, but anyway. So is this a spooks up, a scares down, or a boo, Arthur?
That's probably the most confident spooks up I'm going to give in a while. I think this is probably my favorite thing we've covered in a bit. And that's saying a lot, because I've actually enjoyed quite a bit of the anime we've been watching lately.
And Ghost?
Yeah, I completely agree with Arthur. I thought this was really good. As we discussed, some things don't add up, but it's like they seem unimportant. And yeah, there's potential that they will explain it later, but there's also like everything else is holding it together, making it engaging.
Yeah, I also agree. It's a spooks up. It's very enjoyable. It kept me engaged the whole time. I was surprised that Yuri won the third episode. So not really surprised when they woke up in the booth again, because like we were three episodes in. This is a full series. From what I was... what I found while looking around, I don't know if people were being sarcastic or something, but I saw at least two mentions of people being like lots of runs into the game. So I don't know if like you get the first few tutorial runs and then the rest are random, like randomly generated or what.
So from what I understood, the first like two or three scenarios are very scripted. Like in the very first loop that you play through, SQ is the nausea. The second loop also goes the way the episode did with some changes, but in the second loop, actually saw it's randomized who the nausea can be, but like the interactions with Gina are pretty much the same, and you also that's also where the like the intuition thing is introduced, and I think there's a chance that the engineer makes an appearance in the second loop, but usually it would be in the third one. So yeah, there is a randomization. I think some people described it as a roguelite.
Okay, interesting. So its Annie-list was 69%. Does it deserve that?
I feel it's way too harsh, I'll be honest. 69%, it's literally three episodes in, and though some things were predictable, I'll say, I think it's kind of necessary exposition for what's to come and learning the... coming to grips with it, right? Because if you don't know how it works and, you know, voting people off the island and all that sort of stuff, it's kind of important for you to understand what happens and how it works. Even as a person who has already been exposed to... I've never played a social deduction game, but I've already seen and I understand how it works. I didn't find the exposition annoying, so I actually had... basically no complaints about the anime. And in fact, the more episodes I watched, the more I enjoyed it, so.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely too low. I was thinking about that. It introduces things very much at a pace that a video game would, I guess. And I was thinking it might do well as an OVA, not a TV series, where it's more condensed. But it's also like probably aimed at audiences younger than us that might not be as familiar with media as we are and don't and not instantly get that, oh, someone like people might be deceptive or this might be a possibility or this might be a possibility, and you need to like introduce different variables at a slower pace. Am I making sense or am I just rambling to myself?
The problem with it being in a shorter OVA is that there's a larger cast of characters being introduced slowly at this rate. But I didn't actually count how many there is. It's like 12, 15 characters. And it wouldn't be able to show much interaction between most of the cast if it was a shorter form thing.
No, I actually concluded that... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go on.
I actually concluded that it... Like, after the first three episodes where you gradually introduce things, it can, like, focus on progressing the plot rather than trying to introduce things to you. And, like... spend more time developing characters and the overarching plot and stuff like that. So, like, to me, like, I acknowledge that to me it might have felt a little slow, but I think this is aimed at younger audiences and more general audiences, so that it's justified to have those first episodes be a bit slower. That it just didn't bother me.
Okay. Yeah, I also wasn't bothered by it. I think realistically, if I'm going to be honest, I'm definitely going to play this game. I would have continued watching it, but I want to be able to experience more of it myself. But if it wasn't, like, if I didn't know video games, I can see how this might be. It's important to do, like, all the exposition. However, I could also see how it might be a little less interesting because we're used to roguelike elements, where as people in, you know, anime and shows and all that might not be.
Yeah, actually, in regards to exposition, I wanted to mention that the first scene when they get to the meeting room and you meet the three characters for the first time, it felt like, it didn't feel like exposition because the characters were talking between each other and like being in the middle of like a motivated conversation, like trying to figure out who the imposter is, and you get a lot of information about what's happening from just that. And I thought that was that's a really great way to do exposition, is like when the conversation is actually, it has a different motivation rather than talking to someone as a proxy for the viewer to explain to them what's happening. And I mean, they do a bit more of that when they take a break and go to the cafeteria place, whatever, but yeah, as a first like exposition quote unquote scene, I thought that was masterful. That was great dialogue.
I agree. I think that I'm actually surprised at how high quality this is, which makes me wonder the quality of the things we've been watching, right? I've been growing to like them more, but is it because since most of these are video game inspired, have we been watching things that are just okay and have just gotten used to this sort of quality? So Gnosia is like not that good, but it's so good in comparison because it's just in general a good anime versus a video game adaptation. So I found that very interesting because it got me thinking about how maybe I've been growing more tolerant to the things we've been watching.
I think that it's based on a social deduction slash visual novel game that has to have a really good dialogue and well-written characters, and maybe that translates better into a TV show.
Yeah, I can see it, because it feels very different from the last few things we've been watching over, like, several months at this point. That, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they're bad. It's just that the translation into anime format felt more smooth and enjoyable in this one than some others have, where I'm just having to wave off a few issues and be like, I mean, that was bad, but I enjoyed the overall product nonetheless. Whereas here, I feel very confident about how much I like this one.
I think a lot of the time, the adaptations we watch are of games that rely on action, and like in the game itself, the story and the dialogue isn't the focus, so it isn't that great, and you quickly forget about it because the gameplay might look great or feel great, and like when you try to translate it into a story that you watch, it can easily fall flat.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, that about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Arthur and Gauz.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, you are both the traitors.
No. How did you know?
Oh, from which game is that?
Not from a video game. It's from a TV show called The Traitors, I think. I've never watched it. Thank you for listening to the Spooky Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on greenbin.com. Find us on social media or listen to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, scream on!